Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be. Welcome to Balance Point. We welcome you from all four corners of God's glorious earth. It's been a while since we've live streamed. We've been doing a lot of recording lately. As many of you know, we at Balance Point have been helping out at our mother church, Side by Side Community Church. And we've been having a wonderful time over there. And we decided it was time to get back to doing the live stream. Just a couple of small little announcements. One thing that's going to change, and I know earlier I said that we wanted to go back to having live worship, and we will probably do that. However, if we do that, we're probably going to be moving off of the YouTube platform for our live stream because we've noticed that there have been some, shall we say, copyright scavengers. Even though we have all of our music licensed, there are people throwing copyright claims up. I'm having to go back through and re-edit the video to cut out all of the worship. But be that as it may, we will be back to live streaming, and we will be live streaming Sunday night at 7 o'clock Pacific time. And again, Thursday evening, we're going to be streaming at 7, and schedule's going to be, Sunday's going to be kind of a more topical message. And on Thursdays, we'll be continuing our series in the book of Genesis. Also, if you would like a live study of the book of Genesis, our mother church is also studying the book of Genesis Sunday mornings and on Wednesday evenings, although it's not myself teaching it. The Wednesday evening is by way of video. But still, we would look forward to seeing you join us there. And with that in mind, the announcements are out of the way, so let us open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come into the presence of your majesty, we just want to come forward and we just welcome your presence. We ask, oh Father God, that you would have your way in this time, and that you would be magnified, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. We ask, Father God, that you would just be blessed in this time of study that we're engaged in. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. And we're going to be starting at chapter 2. And it looks like my screen has scrolled on me. Let me find my verse. Chapter 2, and we're going to be beginning at verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. And the title of tonight's study is, Don't Be Deceived by False Religion. Don't be deceived by false religion. You know, in today's day and age, we live in a world of deception. The news media deceives, the politicians deceive, the schools deceive, even many churches deceive. But there is a deception that is particularly dangerous. Very dangerous, in fact. And it is the deception that is self-deception. It's a deception that we can get into when we think that we're being religious, when we think that we are serving God, when in reality, we're just off in the world all by ourselves. And Paul, writing to the Colossians, warns us against the deception of religion. I don't know how far we're going to get down into this, because this is some pretty meaty stuff when you really think about what we're going to be reading. Beginning at verse 8, see to it that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of man, according to elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, I want to stop there. Because honestly, this section of scripture, this could probably be like a 2-month series if we let it. But I want to back up. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. You see, we need to be on guard that we don't let the philosophies of men, that we don't let the rules and the traditions of man get in the way of the relationship with Christ. There are all sorts of religions out there that say, do this, don't do that. You have to do this in order to make yourself good with God, in order to be right with God. And the truth of the matter is, there's nothing that we as humans can do to be right with God. Some religions say, don't eat this. Don't go there. Don't dance. Don't drink. Don't go to the movies. And yet, the path to God is much simpler. The path to God is simply trust. Trusting in what God has done. Now, does this mean that as believers we don't have standards that we live to? Well, as a matter of fact, as a believer, we do have a standard. That standard is called the standard of liberty. In other words, as believers, we have perfect freedom. Perfect freedom. I want you to think about that. Now, does this freedom mean that we can do whatever we want whenever we want? Well, our freedom is tempered by love. Love for God. And that's manifested through our love for our fellow people. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 tells us about our liberty. But be aware lest somehow this liberty, this freedom of yours, become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So our constraint is our constraint of love, that we would not cause our weaker brothers and sisters to stumble. Our freedom is a freedom from sin, but it's not a freedom from sin that puffs us up, but rather it's a freedom from sin and humbleness and meekness. Because what is freedom to me may be a stumbling block to you. And where you may be free in an area of your life, that might be a stumbling block to me. But because we have this freedom, we can become puffed up. And the problem with becoming puffed up is the fact that it sets us up for a fall. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, we're warned against becoming puffed up because we're strong in an area. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, in other words, you have a freedom in an area. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, who has freedom, who has strength, take heed lest he fall. You see, the devil likes nothing more than to come against us in an area where we think that we're strong. Maybe we believe that we are strong in our faith. Maybe we believe that we're strong in the area of taming sexual desire, or maybe we're strong in an area of being able to consume alcohol. But remember, the thing that we think that we have the most freedom in, the devil will come along and try to twist it. Thinking back to when Jesus was in the desert being tempted. And the devil came to him after fasting for 40 days and said, since you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones to bread? Jesus had perfect freedom because he was God to do that very thing. But Jesus used his freedom not to do that thing. He used his freedom to keep himself in the position of being dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that is the key to not being deceived. I believe that that is the true key. It's to live in subjection to the power of the Holy Spirit. To let everything that comes into us, come into our eyes, come into our ears, come into our mind, be filtered by the power, by the knowledge, by the wisdom, by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Our main text here says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. There are philosophies out there that would seek to take you captive. There are all sorts of isms that say, no, I'm the way to God. There are isms that would have you do mighty deeds of faith. Take mighty journeys of faith. When the living God says, I love you where you're at. There are faith traditions that say, well, before you come through the door, you gotta get yourself cleaned up. But the God of the Bible is a God of dirty hands. The God of the Bible is a God who didn't just say the word and man was made, but he formed man out of the dust of the earth. Now, I don't know if God has, you know, hands with 10 fingers like we do. But it shows that God became personally invested. And he was personally involved in the formation of man. And then when man sinned in the garden, and the man and woman had sewed together fig leaves, representing their own religion. And here's the truth about man's religion. It's going to leave you cold. It's going to leave you itchy. And it's going to leave you itchy because it doesn't have within it the power of God. But when man sinned and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, it was God who covered them with the skins of animals. It was God himself who got his hands dirty by killing the animal, skinning it, and making clothes for the man and the woman. We serve a God who gets his hands dirty. And when it was time for the ultimate sacrifice, it was no one less than God himself in the person of Jesus who put on animated mud and became a man. It was no one less than God who walked the dusty roads and shores of Galilee and Judea, teaching the people about his love, healing the sick, touching the leper, giving sight to the blind eyes. I'm reminded of the blind man who came to Jesus wanting his sight. And it was no one other than the God of heaven who stooped down, spit into the dirt, and made mud. He got his hands dirty. And then the ultimate, when he hung on the cross. You see, that's the difference between the God of the Bible an empty philosophy. The God of the Bible says, I love you enough that I made you. I love you enough that I got my hands dirty for you. I love you enough that I bled for you. Whereas the philosophies of man say that, hey, you can do it. If you can think it, you can do it. I think I can. But here's the thing. Apart from God, we can't. And then there are the traditions of man that say, you have to eat this, you can't eat that. You got to wear this, you can't wear that. You got to go here, you can't go there. And while some of those rules are good, because they keep us away from things that we probably shouldn't be around, keeping the rules in and of themselves does not necessarily please God. And then there's just the thought games that man can come up with, the empty philosophies, the philosophy that God doesn't exist. We came from nothing. First there was nothing, and then it exploded. There was a probability wave. Well, who made the probability wave? Well, it just always existed. Infinite regress. It's not logical. And then the philosophy of God is dead. I got news for you. He ain't dead. And he ain't getting off the throne. And then there are arguments about, you know, in the Middle Ages they used to argue, well, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Who cares? That has nothing to do with the God of love. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 tells us, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions. Woo! Don't we have a lot of that in our world today? A lot of idle babbling? A lot of contradiction? the left says this, the right says that, the center says something totally different from all the rest of them. The biblically conservative says this, the biblically liberal says that, and people are confused. But Timothy is warned to guard what was committed to his trust. What was committed to our trust? Here at Balance Point, we have a simple thing that's been committed to our trust. That God made us, and that even though we choose to go astray, God loves us, and he loves us so much that he died for us. And at some day, at some point, we are going to live with him forever. It's that simple. It's that simple. And that is the thing that we must guard against. That we would move away from the simple truth of the gospel. And that we would go back to looking at those things that don't matter. Those things that we outgrew when we came to the gospel. Because see, before we came to the gospel, we were in bondage. We were taken captive by the god of this world. And we were under the control of our flesh and our desire to do that which would separate us from God. And then Jesus came. Galatians chapter 4 verse 3 tells us, even so when we were children, that's before we were known by God, before we knew God and were known by God, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were in bondage. We were held captive. If you are not a Christ follower, if you have never accepted the free gift of eternal life, you are in bondage. You are not the free one because you are driven. You're driven by your flesh. You're driven by pride, you're driven by anger, you're driven by lust, you're driven by greed, you're driven by power. And here's the thing, none of those things are gonna stand. If you go out and you make all the money that you want, what happens to that money when you die? You have the big house and the nice car. If you don't take care of it, what happens to that house and that car? What happens to them when you die? You see, the things of this world are meaningless. The things of this world, yes, we are to enjoy them. I'm not saying become some sort of ascetic hanging out on some mountainside, hanging off of a cliff somewhere. But I am saying that we need to hold very loosely to the things of the world. Because one of two things is sure to happen. Either we are going to die, or the world is going to die. But see, we are given this great promise in Colossians chapter 2, again, but we're skipping ahead to verse 20. If you've died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why should we subject ourselves to the world's regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. All of this stuff concerns things that are going to go away. All of these things. You see, the thing with false religion is it says, hey, if you do all this stuff or you don't do all this stuff, you'll be pleasing to God. But the reality It doesn't matter. It's all going away. The reality is there's only one thing that's going to last, and that is love. And I'm not talking about love like what you see on the TV, but I'm talking about the kind of love that says, I want the best outcome for you, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Because see, on this life, in this planet, at best we have 100, 120 years. With scientific breakthroughs, that might make it back up to 200 years. But when we step out of this plane of existence, when we step out of this place, what will we take with us? And there's only one thing that we can take with us. We can take love. There's only one thing that we can send ahead of us, and that's love. And when everything is said and done, and all of this that is around us fades into the background, all that will remain is love. Watch this. The Bible says that God is love. And the greatest manifestation, the greatest image of God that we have, is the God-man, Christ Jesus. And verse 9 of our text tells us, for in him the fullness of deity, the fullness of God, dwells bodily in bodily form. In him is the fullness of this thing that we call love. It is the fullness of God's expression of his loving kindness to a race of people who hate him. And watch this. And in him, you, if you're a Christ follower, you have been made complete. In other words, you have been literally filled up. But you've been made complete. Watch this. How's he made complete? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 tells us, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, passes all understanding. What is the love of Christ? That he so loved the world that he came. He set aside his prerogative to act as God. He set aside his glory. He set aside his prerogative to act with all power. And he became a human. And he dwelt among us. And even though he's the God of the universe, even though he is eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, even though in his Godhead he is all-present, he limited himself to space and time. He limited himself to just what he could do as a human, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He limited himself so much that he allowed his own creation to murder him on a cross. That is the love of Christ. Why? So that he could take the punishment that is due to us, so that we might live in the glory that was rightfully his. That's why the love of Christ passes all knowledge. What sort of a being would allow himself to be nailed to a cross of wood, even though he was the being who made the hill on which that cross stood. The kind of being that desires for us to be filled with love. Ephesians 3:19 goes on. Let me start over. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. You see, Jesus emptied himself of the fullness of God that we might be filled up with it. That we might be made complete. That he might be the head of a heavenly body. Why? Because eventually everything is going to go back to God. Because Jesus, as Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22a tells us, that Jesus is far above all principality, all power, all might, and the dominion. Those principalities, the power, the might, the dominion, those are ranks of angels. He's above all that. That he's far above every name that is named. You name something, Jesus is above it. Are you lonely? Jesus is above it. Are you sick? Jesus is above your sickness. Are you poor? Jesus is above your poverty. And in him, there are riches unfathomable. And sometimes he'll bless you with the riches of money, but at other times he'll bless you with the riches of his presence. Do you not have a family? His name is above being an orphan. He is far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the age to come. And here is the amazing thing. And he has put all things under his feet. That is God. God has put all things under the feet of Jesus and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And this brings us back to our opening passage. You see, if Jesus is above all things, and if we are part of his body, if we have accepted his grace and become part of the body, then that means that all things are under our feet. And so that means that we should be careful that we operate out of the law of love, that we operate out of the perfection that is available to us. So that we don't get tied up in a bunch of religious do's and don'ts. So that we avoid getting tangled up in a bunch of philosophies that go nowhere. You know, earlier we read the passage that talked about the contradicting philosophies. And I got to tell you, I remember taking philosophy in college. And in fact, I had to take it again in seminary just so I'd know what I was up against. I remember reading through one particular philosopher and his arguments about something. I don't even remember what he was arguing about. But I do remember this, that I eventually had to take out a notebook and I had to diagram out what he was trying to say. And by the time I got done diagramming what he was trying to say, I discovered that he had contradicted himself so completely that he said nothing. By the end of this thing that this philosopher had written, he had negated what he had said in the very beginning. That's the philosophies of man. The philosophies of man will always come up empty. They will always leave you empty if you try to apply them, thinking, hey, this is the way to live. This is the thing that will please God. Do you know what you get? You get exactly what Adam and Eve got. You get diaper rash from putting on fig leaves. And there's only one thing that can solve the diaper rash. And that's the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood. The blood that doesn't just cover our sins, but washes our sins away. The world doesn't like to hear about the blood. And the Bible tells us that the cross is foolishness to man. How can one man dying on a couple of sticks solve the sin problems of the world? You know what? I have no idea. But I'm just daft enough to believe that God does know how that works. And I don't know that we'll ever understand it. But I do know this. That was God's plan from the beginning. That was God's purpose from the beginning. And so we can stand in faith, knowing and understanding that God has done what God is going to do. And there's nothing that we can add to it to make it any better. There's nothing that we can take away to make it any better. As Solomon put it in the book of, in the Song of Solomon, I'm sorry, in Ecclesiastes, not the Song of Solomon. In Ecclesiastes. What is, and I'm going to paraphrase, what is the best thing that man can do? Love God and enjoy the time that God gives us on this earth. Enjoy the work of our hands. Enjoy the family that He's provided. And most of all, be thankful. Let's pray. Father God, I am thankful that You make salvation simple. And Father God, right now I pray for those who have been listening to this message and who will listen to this message in the future. And I pray Your grace upon them. The fact that they found this message is an act of Your grace. But more importantly, Father God, I pray that they'll get it, that they don't have to strive, they don't have to struggle. Father God, I pray that just in the simplicity of the gift, that they just accept it. That, Father God, I pray that their minds will be open to understanding, but, Father God, I pray that they would just accept the gift with whatever understanding they have. And I ask, Father God, that You would live within them through Your Holy Spirit, and that You would guide them and empower them to live lives that are pleasing to You. I pray, Father God, for Your church, that You would protect them from the philosophies of man, that they may grow in the fullness of the knowledge of the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray these things. Amen and amen. We would love to hear from you. And getting in contact with us here at Balance Point is actually very simple. Up on the screen, if you're watching this on video, you will find our contact information. You can send us email at our website, staff@balance-point.org. You can contact us on our Facebook page balance.cc. You can contact us through our YouTube channel at Balance Point Church. And we would love to have letters telling us what God is doing in your lives through Balance Point. And you can do that by mailing us at Balance Point Church at 1998 East Oris Street. Let me spell that for you. That's O-R-I-S. Oscar Richard India Sierra Street. We are in Willowbrook, California, 90222. We would love to hear from you. And so drop us a line, drop us an email, because we really do want to know what God is doing in your life. Anyway, until we meet again on Thursday evening, and for those of you around the world across the international dateline, I know that that's a horrible time. We will see you Friday morning, which is Friday morning your time, Thursday our time. May God richly bless you in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit, who makes salvation so simple that it doesn't need any complications, just the trust in Him. Amen and amen.